The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
Flacco back to pass. Pocket collapsing. And it's picked off. Taron Johnson at the 22. Working his way back. Cuts it all the way across the field. Has Rasul Douglas blocking. Five. Touchdown, Buffalo! Pressure coming, and the screen is intercepted by Austin Johnson! His second interception of the season! And off, no, it's a keeper for Allen through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown! Pressure coming, and Flacco is going to get wrapped up and sacked by Taron Johnson. Looking down the right side, it's batted out of the air, or was it fumbled? Greg Rousseau, did he strip it out? Yes, he did, and it's Buffalo football! Back to pass, looking over the middle. Doesn't have anybody. Pressure coming, and he's sacked! Quentin Jefferson, the new man on the block! Back to pass, pressure coming. Looking for Pierce, and it's picked off by Taylor Rapp! Handoff goes to Cook, and it's a race to the pylon as Cook flips into the end zone for a 2-yard touchdown run.
When I listen to those highlights, you know what strikes me? The crowd. You're in Indianapolis, and it sounded like a darn home game for the Buffalo Bills yesterday in Indianapolis against the Colts. The Bills with a 30-20 victory over the Colts yesterday. It was a day that started off great, then you had a little bit of kind of scariness in there, and then the Bills took control a little bit later. They move to 8-2 on the season. The first time the Buffalo Bills have been 8-2 in 31 freaking years. 3 decades since the Bills have been 8-2. Not even in this regime, with all the success they've had with Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean and all the winning that they've done, have they been 8-2 after 10 games. Feels good on a Buffalo victory football Monday here on WGR. Sal Capaccio with you. Thank you for joining me. I am live at KeyBank Center today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. That's because we got a Sabres game. Speaking of winning games, this team is hot too. They've won 3 in a row. They're right there. They win today, they get above 500 for the first time this season. They take on the Montreal Canadiens. That's a 12:30 p.m. start. So we're going to have Sabres pregame for you after the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show ends here at noon. So I'm here at KeyBank Center, ready to rock and roll. Gonna have the radio show today. I got my man Max with me up in the radio booth. He's going to be sitting down cheering on his Buffalo Sabres today, as I know that it's a holiday and kids are off and schools are off and federal employees are off. Maybe you're off today. Maybe you're not. I'm here for you on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And, of course, the reason why everybody's off today, it is Veterans Day. So let me also open by saying thank you so much to all who served. We are so indebted for your service. And we wouldn't be able to do things like this, talk about sports for a living and share our passion and our dreams to do what we've wanted to do, like me, since I was a little kid, to be here to talk about the Bills and the Sabres on a Monday without the sacrifices that were made by so many of you for so many of years. Thank you so much for all of you out there who are listening. We salute our veterans today on this Veterans Day 2024. The Sabres, they play at 12:30. The Bills, of course, yesterday, a big 30-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts. All right, The Catholic Health Extra Point Show today, of course, on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday, is presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Of course, that is our Buffalo Football Monday, as always, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. We got a lot to get to today. Sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, we'll get to our Barnes Firm injury report and, of course, your phone calls, 803-0550. 803-0550. We have open phone lines right now. You want to jump in. You want to jump on board. What did you think about yesterday's game? We got a lot to get to on the game. I got my arrow up, arrow down column at WGR550.com. You can like what you saw, not like what you saw. There's a debate going on about how well they're playing or not well they're playing. And I said this is going to happen, right? I mean, like, when you win games a lot, but you don't blow teams out and you don't have your best performance, you're inevitably going to get, and I got this already, on social last night, at Sal Sports, on social media, people saying, well, if they play like that against the Chiefs, if they play like that in the playoffs, yep, here's the good news. It wasn't a playoff game, and they didn't have to win that game. Every game's different. What have I said for many years? Every game has its own DNA. Every game has its own DNA. Every week is different. Every matchup is different. I mean, you want to look at it that way, look at the Kansas City Chiefs and the way they're winning games. I guarantee you they're saying the same thing in Kansas City this morning. Well, we play like that in Buffalo next week, we're going to lose, and it's not going to be undefeated anymore. Because now it is an undefeated Chiefs team, 9-0, rolling into Orchard Park next week, Highmark Stadium, to take on 9-0, to take on the Buffalo Bills. No, the Chiefs are 9-0, Max. Yeah, they're 9-0 after yesterday. They haven't played 10 games yet. So, see, I got Max trying to correct me here. He's like, listen to the show and saying, no, Dad, they're 10-0. They're 9-0. But maybe next week they get to 9-1. We're going to go through the standings and everything else. All right, listen, we are live on the WGR Facebook page. Thank you. Hi, everybody. And just so everybody knows, I did not forget. I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to lift up my shirt here. Sorry for all. I'm going to lift up my shirt on the video. Got the Buffalo Victory Monday. There you go. Victory Monday. Josh, can everybody see that? I think everybody can see that right there. So,
oh,
there
yeah.
We go. All right, Victory Monday.
See the Sabres quarter zip in there as well.
I know, right? Well, I'm getting ready. I got to wear my Sabres gear today when I go down and sit down and cheer on the Buffalo Sabres with my son today, as maybe people are coming down. Hopefully a good crowd today. I mean, there you go. There you go. There's Max with his J.J. Paterka. Here you go, buddy. I love it, man. It's a great day today, right? It's a Buffalo Victory Monday. By the way, if you're watching on the Facebook page, it's WGR. It's facebook.com/WGR550. And if you're coming aboard and you are watching there, I can't interact with you on there. You can do that, but you can comment on the page. You can watch the show, of course, here from KeyBank Center. Or you can just listen in today to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We have a lot to get to. All right, this game, where do you start? I like to do a little big picture, small picture kind of deal when it comes to this kind of thing, right? Because there's the small picture, if you will, of the game and how it all unfolded. And there's the big picture of what it means in the standings going forward. So I'll give time for you to give some calls here at 803-0550 while I run through some of the notes that I have, what I wrote about at WGR550.com, some of the good and the bad, the arrow up, arrow down that I always write after a game. There wasn't much arrow down, but one interesting thing is I gave Josh Allen an arrow down in this game. I don't think Josh played a very good game yesterday, but he did enough to win, right? A bad game for Josh, uneven game for Josh, whatever you want to call it. I wouldn't even call it bad. It was uneven. I thought he was a bit up and down. But here's the good news. When your elite, you know, amazing quarterback goes 22 of 37 with no touchdowns and two interceptions, less than 60%, when he's not on, he's not playing well, and you still win a game by 10 points, I think that shows a lot about the team, the rest of the team, what everybody else around the roster is doing. It says a lot about the coaching, the preparation, and of course, the defense. This game was won because of defense. There's no doubt about that. And that said, even though the game was won on defense, it was also a game that looked like they were going to get run over by Jonathan Taylor, at least maybe not on the scoreboard, but he looked like he was going to go for well over 200 yards and have an amazing day. Because in the first half, Jonathan Taylor ran 16 times for 107 yards. Second half, Bills clamped down. What is it about, you know, how many people have I had call over the years say, where's the adjustments? Bills don't make adjustments. It's such low-hanging fruit that is just not true. This year, just if you're going to call or write that, put down the phone, don't send it. Don't call to say it. Put down the phone, don't send it on Twitter. The Bills have been amazing at adjustments this year. That's actually carried them in a lot of these games. All these slow starts. Now, you can complain about slow starts. There's no doubt about that. And that is something you need to fix. They had a fast start on defense yesterday. But one thing they've done amazing, they've been amazing at this year, is adjustments in game, adjustments at halftime. Here's another game where here comes Jonathan Taylor. Oh, my God, 107 yards rushing in the first half. Yeah, he had seven in the second half on five carries. Another great adjustment by the Bills. And they've been doing that all year. The Bills kind of let the game play a little bit. They play the long game this year. It's one thing I really like about this team, although it gets a little bit scary and it gets, okay, what are you doing? First half, you're not feeling good. Third quarter starts to feel a little bit better. Then at the end of the game, maybe, you know, now you're ultimately, okay, we have something in control here. But one thing they've done this year that I've been impressed with is they've let the game kind of play out a little bit and then figured out what do we need to do as the game goes on to make sure that, you know, we buckle up in some of these areas. So they did that yesterday, despite Josh Allen's two interceptions, 280 yards passing. Now, Josh did go over 300 yards of total offense. So here's an uneven game for Josh, and he still has 300 yards of total offense. And that total offense included Mac Hollins' best game, I would say, in a Bills uniform for, you know, a couple of the catches that he made, a couple of great throws by Josh, obviously. Mac goes four catches for 86 yards. He did not score a touchdown, but he had a huge 44-yard catch down the field where he caught it, had the presence of mind to get up and run out of bounds to save the timeout. The Bills still had one timeout, but he gets out of bounds with 8 seconds left. The Bills had one more shot. They wound up, Josh did, throwing the ball away, and then Tyler Bass kicks a field goal. Arrow up, arrow down. I'll go through some of the other good and bad throughout the game, but mostly this game fell on the defense and takeaways until the offense really needed, and they did. The offense still complimented them with a couple of nice drives. In fact, late in the game, when the offense really needed a drive, they got their drive. They got the drive that they needed late in the game. It was the closeout drive is what I like to call it. And when the Bills get the ball, let me read what happened here. 10-point lead with 9:46 left, all right? Bills get a 10-point lead with 9:46 left. There's something in football we all know. It's called the two-minute offense, right? When you need to speed up, when you need to go fast, when you need to score because there's 2 minutes left in the game and you got to get some points. There's also something called the four-minute offense. It's actually completely opposite than the two-minute offense. The four-minute offense is when you want to slow the game down, grind it out, take time off the clock, close out the game. The Bills were in a four-minute offense mode with 9:46 remaining. They got the ball at their own 16-yard line after a Taylor Rapp interception. They needed a long, sustained drive, and they got it. 13 plays, 84 yards. They took 6:42 off that clock, leaving the Colts no time and down three scores, essentially. So it was just, it's the kind of drive they needed. And how many times over the last couple years have we said the Bills can't close out games? They closed this one out. They closed this one out with a really nice drive, and they needed it. And they converted three third downs on that drive. That was a nice closeout. But it was set up by a defense with four takeaways. The Bills took the ball away four times in this game. They lead the NFL in takeaways. Three interceptions, a fumble recovery. Of course, started by Taron Johnson. He gets 7 points. They also get 10 more points off turnovers, 17 points off turnovers by the Bills in this game. All right, a lot to get to today. We'll take your phone calls at 803-0550. Josh Schmidt back at Network Control running the board. Let's start it off with Billy in Toronto, who's first up. Hi, Billy. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, how you doing, Sal? Yeah, good. Listen, you know, the last couple of years that I've called in, I thought that, you know, I told you straight out the Bills are winning the Super Bowl. And there was no question about it. And I'm a little bit, and they didn't do it, and I'm a little bit funny this year because I'm seeing it a different way, and I hope that's the, you know, it works in reverse for me. You know, Sal, I don't see a team in this league, and we know who the top four or five who we think has got a chance to win it all, but I see somebody coming from right field. I really do. The teams have not looked good. Kansas City reminds me of Pittsburgh a couple of years ago when they got off to that 10-0 start and everybody crowned them the champs. Kansas City has not looked good. When you think Baltimore is the best team in football, they get beat by Cleveland. Last night, Detroit should have got beat by Houston. And, you know, I know it's just the season playing out, but I'll tell you this. I see something funky happening this year, and I hope it's, you know, I really hope it's the Bills winning the whole damn thing, but I see something funky. It's just, it has been a funny year. The thing I want to say, though, about the Kansas City game coming up, look, yes, we need this game, you know, for having first overall, but I think we can go into their house or they can come into our house and beat us. So, I mean, It's an important game. We want it for bragging rights, but it's not the end all. But the one question I ask, please, Josh, don't make this about you and Patrick Mahomes. Just win the damn game. And number two, if that Mahomes is running down the sidelines and he looks like he's going out of bounds, please don't fall for it, Buffalo. I don't care if he steps out of bounds and you drill him into next week and you take a 15-yard penalty. I don't care. But don't let this guy be foolish with us. Enough of him faking every guy out and just you know, making people look silly. I really think that we get him this week. I think we get him easy, but I hope it leads us right to the Super Bowl. That's all I got, Sal.
You got it, Billy. Well, maybe Mahomes will get an assist from the referee telling him somebody's close by. Did you see that on social last night? Did you see the video? Mahomes telling the referee, can you tell him when he's close? I don't know. I just think, I don't know. Is he joking? I don't even know the context. I didn't look deep into it. I know the guys talked about it this morning. I don't think, Billy, that Josh makes it, or he has made it even in these other games against Kansas City, about him versus Mahomes. I don't think that at all. Josh has played well in these games. Obviously, he had the lead with 13 seconds left, walked off the field. Drove him down last year, hit Stephon Diggs right in the hands. Great pass, dropped it in the playoff game, and then they get in a position where he has a throw to make to Khalil Shakir and unfortunately can't step into it. I don't think Josh has done that. Not saying that you're saying he has, but I think this is a, you know, Josh has played the kind of football that the Bills have wanted Josh to play over the last few years, taking care of it a little bit more, and he's going to have to do that against a Kansas City team that's not going to give you a lot. They're certainly not. They have a very good defense. The Bills and the Chiefs, both top 10 in the NFL in points allowed. Should be a fun game. See, here we are. First call in. We're already talking about the Chiefs game next week. You guys already passed this game yesterday. I'm not. I want to talk about it, but you're right. It's a big game next week here in Orchard Park. Let's get to Scott in Clarence. Hi, Scott. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Yeah, good morning. Another good win for the Bills. They're finding ways to win, which is awesome. You know, the point I want to make is this. Josh Allen has a reputation around the league. He's a tough SOB, and he fights. Mm-hmm. And what happens is, with these guys being so competitive, they're going to come up against his reputation as a tough guy, and they're taking liberties that the refs are allowing. That lineman who punched him in the head three times, yeah, he should be suspended. You know, and the refs are allowing this, and it's wrong. Josh is getting beat up, and it's not right. And the other thing I'm saying is this. Josh's arm doesn't look as strong as it looked at the beginning of the season. His passes aren't quite as frozen rope, as rocket-like. And I'm thinking, this has to do with how much he's getting beat up. The refs have to do something about this. And really, that's what I'm saying. The Bills are finding a way to win, even with all the injuries, and that's exactly what Kansas City does. They find a way to win. So, go Bills. That's what I got.
Yeah, you got it, Scott. Thanks for the phone call. You're talking about the play, by the way, Deo Odeyingo. I keep pronouncing his name incorrectly, and I apologize. I'm not going to try it again. I apologize. I had the pronunciation yesterday. I did it in the broadcast. I was fine. My apologies on that. But anyway, he punched Josh Allen trying to go for the ball when Josh was on a quarterback sneak. And then he tried to punch the ball. You could see, didn't come out. Punched again and got Josh in the head. Then they're on the ground. He punched him again, it looked like. It's like three times. I agree with you. Like, why is that not a penalty? Where are the officials? The officials are looking at the spot. They're trying to, you know, spot the ball. It's crazy. Should have been a penalty. Then the other one that upset me was Josh scores the touchdown and he's thrown out of bounds, essentially, at the end of the play. Spencer Brown comes over. Now, he was well out of bounds. He gets thrown out of bounds. The defender acted like he was trying to hold off, but he threw him down onto the ground. Spencer Brown runs over to get in the player's face and he gets called for an unsportsmanlike conduct. That creates a very long extra point for Tyler Bass. We're supposed to be in a league where you're protecting quarterbacks, and it seems like it's way too arbitrary when you protect quarterbacks and when you don't. Now, look, I'm all for the, are you kidding me, they glanced him in the helmet, why are you throwing that? But if you're going to throw it when they glance him in the helmet, why do you not throw it when he gets thrown to the ground? That happened in the game the other night, Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow twice had his face mask grabbed and pushed on or pushed in or whatever you want to call it. Once earlier in the game and then once on the final play where they're going for two. And that wasn't called. And you're supposed to be protecting quarterbacks here, right? So I get it. It's to me, it's the inconsistency of it. No doubt about it. As far as him getting hit, I agree with you about the It seems like there's some balls that are just a little bit short arm, short throws. But then he throws rockets to, like, oh, my God, Mac Hollins. Not the one that he kept alive. That was a good throw. If you remember, there was another play to Mac Hollins later, the one in the second half, where he throws this tight window, tight rope. Mac's on the left sideline, the near sideline for the TV broadcast. He just throws this rope to Mac Hollins. And it was incredible because I don't think many people could actually throw that ball and squeeze it in there the way Josh did. So I also see that happening sometimes. Thanks for the phone call. We'll take another one here. We'll get to Mark, who's out in Denver. Hi, Mark. Mike. I'm sorry, Mike in Denver. Go ahead, Mike. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I'd like to talk about the first down running plays. Oh, my God. Can we get some variety and some – I mean, it's always that first down – straight up the middle handoff, and they're always seemingly behind the sticks, and they get to like second down and eight, second down and nine. And they need to come up with some variety, some jet sweeps where you bring a running back or a wide receiver and you flip it to him, or some sweeps like the old Green Bay sweep. I know the Bills in the 90s there used to run that so-called Green Bay sweep. Maybe more out of the where Josh is under center and you have an I formation. It just seemingly, whenever they run that ball up the middle, they're just not having very much luck with that at all.
Okay, let me just say it this way, okay? I agree. I like more runs or passes on first down, especially more play action. They're not built to be a sweep team. You're asking for something that they're not going to be good at. They're a zone running team. What you call a run up the middle is not a run up the middle. What it is, it's a zone blocking play. It's a play where there's somebody, there's a trap, there's a zone. There's a lot of action happening between the center and the guard, even the tackle coming across. I don't disagree with you, Mike, that I'd like to see more throwing on first down. The Bills are trying to get, 4 yards, make it second and six. They can live with that. I'd like to see more. The Bills are actually not, like, there are teams that are actually even more run-heavy on first down. The Bills are one of the more run-heavy teams. But the way you describe it, this is not 1985. They're not banging a fullback up the middle. There actually are plays that they're designed that are, zone blocking schemes with pulling and trapping that's happening. It's not just banging your head up the middle. You know what I mean? Are you there? Okay. Yeah, so, I mean, that's what you – and I get it. Like, you watch on TV, you're like, okay, here we go again. So let me look at the downs analysis. And I agree with you. I'm not pushing back, Mike, that I'd like to see a little bit more throwing on first down as well. But the Bills here rank – they have gone here at first and 10. Let me see if I can – okay. Yards to go. On first down, the Bills this year – I have this right here from the NFL, literally from the NFL game and information system. First down and 10 this year. The Bills have had 136 total plays. They are rushes, which ranks eighth in the NFL on that. I don't know the percentage, though, I guess. I'd have to look that up as well. They're averaging 4.66 yards on those plays. I mean, you'll take that. You'll take 4.66 yards on a first down and 10 run. That's close to 5 yards a carry. I'm not disagreeing. I'd like more variety. I would tell you, though, for me, the variety comes in maybe go a little bit more play action. You are running the ball a lot. I've actually seen the Bills under center a lot more this year. I like that. Josh is in shotgun a lot, but he's actually more under center this year than what I've seen over the last couple of years. I've been calling for more under center. I'd like to see Ray Davis run the ball a little bit more on first down. Get a little power run in there, or even on any down, actually. He's not yesterday again. Not, it's kind of interesting. It was an arrow down for me of why Ray Davis is still not, getting the touches. Maybe next week is a little bit different week for him. So, Mike, I understand what you're saying. I would ask you, though, to watch what they're actually doing on first down with the runs. You talk about the Green Bay sweep and all these. This is not a sweep team. This is not a team. You can try to get to the edges. This is not the kind of team the Bills. And these defenses they're playing, they're fast. They get to the edges very fast. And the Bills, what they are, it's a good zone running team. These zone runs are designed to go a little bit off tackle, a little bit off guard. There's traps and pulling that's happening. It's not just taking a fullback and slamming them up the middle. So I agree with you on more, passing needed on first down, but I don't think you have to reinvent anything here as far as the designed runs. But yeah, I mean, it does seem a little vanilla. It is by design, and look, I mean, they're protecting the ball and they're winning games. And right now, until that formula goes awry, they're probably going to Stay with it. Thanks a lot for the phone call, Mike. 803-0550 is the number to call here on WGR Sports Radio 550. The Bills with a 30-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. It started off with an amazing play from Taron Johnson. I want to tell you about how Taron Johnson is so good at his job. He's amazing at his job. You take anybody in the NFL and how good they are at what they do, I think Taron Johnson is as good at his job as anybody else is at their job in the National Football League. He started that game with that pick six. And if you want to think about it, this is not just a bad throw by Joe Flacco, all right? Yes, you can look into what is Flacco doing. Taron Johnson, after the game, told me, when I asked him, you know, what happened on the interception? This is how insanely dialed in these guys are at what they do, and Taron Johnson here specifically. He said, well, I saw that play against Miami. They ran it, and I didn't play it the way I wanted to play it. So he sees the same formation. Now, look, Indy sees the play on film. It works against the Bills. So they go with the same type of play, same type of formation, and they run it. And what does Taron do? He recognizes it. And then he gets the exact depth that he wants on it, and he's right there. That's film study. That's him saying, hey, if I see this play again unfolding, I know exactly where I want to be. He sees it. He does. He jumps up. He gets the interception. And then what a great job to take it to the house. Don't ever discount the fact that, hey, you don't know. You might not get there. You might have to settle for a field goal. You might turn the ball over. Bills get a turnover later in the game. They turn it right back. You get to the end zone when you can. Taron Johnson absolutely did. And then later in the game, he has a sack as well. He finished the game with the interception, the pick six that turned into, a sack, three total tackles, a quarterback hit, and a pass breakup. This guy could be in line for AFC Defensive Player of the Week. He became the first Bills defensive back ever in franchise history with a pick six and a sack in the same game. Taron Johnson, excellent game yesterday for the Buffalo Bills. One of four takeaways for the Buffalo Bills. All right, we're going to take a timeout now. We'll come back here in a little while. We'll take more of your phone calls. We have open phone lines right now. 803-0550 is the number to call here on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. When we come back, we'll get into injuries. I'll do a Barnes Firm injury report. We'll talk more about what happened yesterday and then look big picture also around the league live from KeyBank Center where the Sabres are taking on the Montreal Canadiens today at 12:30 p.m.
Makes the handoff, play action, pressure coming, and the screen is intercepted by Austin Johnson, his second interception of the season. He got one back in Seattle a couple of weeks ago. The defensive tackle, two interceptions on the season.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Real. Flacco back to pass, pocket collapsing, and it's picked off. Taron Johnson at the 22, working his way back, cuts it all the way across the field. As Rasul Douglas blocking, five, touchdown Buffalo. The first offensive play for the Colts is a touchdown for the Bills. Taron Johnson with a 22-yard interception return for a touchdown.
Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills win their fifth in a row after starting the season 3-0, then losing a couple games to go to 3-2. They've now won five straight games. They are 8-2 for the first time since 1993. And they still have a stranglehold on the division. They're going to win the division soon at some point here. Not exactly sure how quickly, but we'll go through all of that a little while. Little small picture, big picture, right, if you want to do that. Little micro macro today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Welcome in, Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank for what's next. Get started at northwest.com. I am live from KeyBank Center. That's why you hear that noise, that rumbling in the background. No, that rumbling is not Aaron Rodgers getting upset again at somebody else on his team. That rumbling is KeyBank Center and the scoreboard getting ready to welcome fans in today for the Sabres against the Canadiens at 12:30. Sabres on a nice three-game win streak and a chance here against a team that they're ahead of in the standings as well to get their fourth win. By the way, this scoreboard is amazing. It's awesome. When you've even been to KeyBank Center yet to see the new scoreboard, you got to get here. You got to see it. All right, let's head back out to the phone lines right now. Let's go to John, who's on a cell. I believe John is ready. Go ahead, John. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Sal. How you doing, buddy?
Good, thank you.
We're on our way back from Indianapolis. Oh, my God, what a fantastic game and a beautiful stadium. And our fans, I swear, are one of the best in the league.
That's amazing.
It's amazing, guy. It's just amazing. My voice is gone. I apologize.
I love it. No, it's all right. I've been there, man. I love it.
Dude, we went to Baltimore 2 years ago. We went to D.C. We take over the town. It's crazy.
Yep.
So I wanted to ask you a couple things. So we're up way high. Our section, I felt bad for the Colts fans. We're mostly Bills fans. But what I thought was a disadvantage or unfair was that the PA system was playing music.
Yeah.
When the Bills were in the huddle, but when the Colts were on the field, it was dead quiet. I don't know. Maybe I'm overreacting to that.
I thought I noticed that a couple times. It was weird to me. Now, I don't think it was while when they broke the huddle, and I know you didn't say this, but when Josh was calling, you know, signals at the line, but I did think that a couple times, like, boy, they're letting this music play a little bit too long, aren't they?
Right, yeah, and I'm looking at it, and I saw Josh was able to make a couple audibles, right? He was able to do that. But then I said to myself, I looked at John and my friend, I go, this is really unfair right now. Overall, what a great stadium, great atmosphere, but, man, the Bills fans, we went down. I saw you taking video of the fans. It was incredible. So.
Hopefully you were in that video. I posted it at Sal Sports on Twitter to show the Bills Mafia takeover of Indy. It was amazing. I mean, I will tell you this too, John. I'll tell you this. On the field, two different security guards personnel said to me, "Holy cow, this is like a home game for the Bills." I said, "I know. It's amazing, isn't it?"
Right. And I have a water buffalo hat. And, you know, I'm in the elevator, and one of the guests goes, "Oh, you're one of those?" I go, "Yep, we're taking over the town."
I love it. Thanks a lot. Appreciate it, John. Yeah,
hey,
you got it.
Have a great day. Go Bills. All right.
Yeah, let's go out of state down to Florida where Steven is standing by. Hi, Steven. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
Hey, I wanted to say, first of all, I've been following the Bills since the 60s, and I remember when Van Miller was the voice of the Buffalo Bills. You and Chris and Eric have really filled those big shoes. I think you guys do a great job of calling and commenting on the games.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. I will tell you this. You know, we all, you know, miss Murph, and I know that, you know, the circumstances led to him not being able to do the games. Chris has done a wonderful job. He's great to work with. Eric, of course, is, to me, for my money, I've been around a lot of color analysts, and Eric analyzes the game as well as anybody, because he says a lot of things that really help people who can't see the game and tell you what's going on. But the real magic behind what we do, I got to give a shout out to Greg Harvey and Todd Brody, who are up in the booth and pushing the buttons and telling us what we need to, you know, the reads we need and our cues, and those guys go unnoticed. So I just wanted to say that since you opened the door for me. I'm going to give you an example here, and I'm going to let you say what you want to say after that, Steven, but I'm going to give you an example. The last 5 minutes of the game, you wouldn't know this, I had a hot mic because they literally lost control of the console. Something happened where a bug got into the system, and they said, "Sal, we're just turning your mic on, and if you talk, you're hot." So we had to communicate through text if I had to go on the air. It was crazy.
Wow. Yeah, so definitely the people behind the scenes are, you know, part of that for sure. I wanted to say this. First of all, major kudos to the defense. They have, I mean, when, you know, Matt Milano got injured in practice, we go, oh, no, here we go again. And by the way, I was encouraged to hear he was out there yesterday, you know, and they're saying not supposed to be back till December, so we'll see. But the defense really stepped up, and they proved that because the first score was the defense with that pick six. So that was great. The other thing I wanted to say is this. You can comment on this, get your opinion on this, but I was texting a friend of mine during the game, and he said the same thing I did. I think when it was in the second quarter, I think Buffalo was up 10-0, or maybe it was 10-7, but I think that Buffalo, instead of going for it on fourth down, you know, Chris and Eric commented at that point, they were 9-for-9 on converting fourth down. I think they should have gone for the field goal at that point instead of going for it, because they lost the ball then, and then I think the Colts were able to score off of that.
I remember the play. I'm going to try and find the exact play. Here's what I didn't love, actually. It's funny you say that, Steve, because I didn't mind going for it, but I agree with you that maybe the field goal was the right play there. Get up two score, or get up another score. You're playing well on defense. I didn't love the third down quarterback sneak. It was too far for me. You know what I mean? There was a third down quarterback sneak before that. And I know Josh is really good at it, but that was too far, that third down quarterback sneak they used with Josh. That's what I didn't like on that series.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that upset their momentum. I agree with you. He should have, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, thanks. I remember the play, and I don't totally disagree. But you know what? On a day filled of, you know, a lot of different things, hey, if that's the one thing we're going to pick at, that's okay. Right, Steve? So I appreciate it, man. Thanks a lot for the phone call. All right, let's go another out-of-state. Here we have Tim in Dallas. Tim, what's going on? You're on WGR.
Hey, happy Victory Monday, Sal.
You too.
I want to ask you, I know the trade line is come and gone, but, man, just given the offense, trying to move the ball downfield, was a little tough yesterday, but we got the win. And what were we in contention of getting somebody else? I know we got Cooper. But with Coleman going down, Cooper's not available. We knew that, but is there a reason why we didn't try to get another receiver on the team?
I mean, listen, my best guess would be, and of course I don't, you know, I'm not in Brandon Bean's office tapping into his phone, as you know, but I will tell you this. You know, bringing in new receivers from the outside is always kind of a tricky deal. They brought in, you know, you have a ramp up time, get on the same page. I think they like their receiving core. They felt they needed one more. They got Amari Cooper, but you can't predict the injuries. Amari gets hurt. Keon Coleman gets hurt. You know, I think they like the fact that they have guys that have been in the system and this organization, and they're elevating them and signing them to the roster. I think yesterday what you saw, Tim, was just a simple, hey, you're right. I mean, a little bit of a grind to move the ball, but at the same time, I mean, you think about that receiving core they had out there, no Amari Cooper, no Keon Coleman. That makes it a lot easier on a defense. I don't know if they were in the mix for another receiver. My guess is probably not. I mean, you know, you're overhauling, you're already bringing in Amari Cooper. I think they really like the group they have other than that, so not really sure. But they're always on the lookout, and if somebody's out there, now the trade deadline has passed. If somebody's out there on the waiver wire, or somebody's out there as a free agent, you never know, because right now they have some injuries to deal with.
Hey, thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
You got it. Let's go to Sandy in Grand Island. Hi, Sandy. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing, bud?
Good, thanks.
Hey, man, I just want to say I called last week, and I was talking about, and one of you guys topped me. I said, man, the Bills got to keep running that five-man line. And I don't know if it was Shope or someone said, you know, they agreed with me. They said, but I think better would be to run a four-man line, and you got three linebackers, and you're surprised about which one was going to go in. That's the interceptions that happened, the pressure. It worked. It worked. They were running it. We were calling it last night on the game, yesterday during the game. And I'm just hoping that they push that over to Kansas City.
Do you mean, are you talking about running three linebackers?
You said run three linebackers with a four-man front, and then surprise them with one of those linebackers.
I know, but what I'm saying is I don't think they ran three linebackers at all yesterday, because Taron Johnson is a nickelback. They run five defensive backs. It's two linebackers. And in fact, they played a lot of dime defense, but I do think that they had a few blitzes in the second half that you didn't know where they were coming from for sure.
And believe me, that works. I'm telling you, if they do that against Kansas, I know how good we all know how good Patrick is. If you throw a little pressure on him, it's going to make him adjust a little bit, and he may not be as accurate. He may not have that potential. You can't give him the time. You know that. With the better the quarterback,
yeah.
I think blitzing, you're taking a chance. Yeah, you're leaving somebody more open in the outfield, out in field. But at the same time, you pressure him. I don't think he's going to do quite as good. Two things. 30 years, 8-2. My prediction, Buffalo 34-31. If they put that pressure on Patrick Mahomes, it's done. We're winning.
All right, 34-31. That would be a real high-scoring game for these two teams, but you never know. With Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, of course, going at it. Thanks a lot for the phone call. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. KeyBank Center, that's where I am today on the Northtown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday Extra Point Show. You can watch on our Facebook stream, WGR 550 on Facebook. Check us out there. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the hour with another segment and more of your phone calls. Head into hour number two with a lot more phone calls. So we have open phone lines right now at 803-0550.
Blitz coming. Allen looking deep down the middle for Knox. Over his shoulder, he makes the catch. Down to the 12-yard line. They're going to mark him at the 13.
All right, listen up right now. Be caller 5 or 6 to win a combo ticket to the Total Sports public autograph signing on November 16th at TSC Buffalo in Orchard Park. This combo ticket's going to give you the opportunity to get an item autographed by Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, Shane Conlon, and Reuben Brown. Bring your own item or purchase an item at the event. Visit tscbuffalo.com for other ticket options and details. Caller number 5 or 6 right now at 716-221-4WGR. So that's 4947. 716-221-4947. Let's get back out to the phone lines right now. Ryan in Toronto is standing by. Hi, Ryan. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Sal, my man. I love what you do, bro. On the
thanks,
field,
buddy.
On the air, and on podcast. I listen to you all the time, bro.
Thank you, my man. I appreciate that.
Listen, I want to ask you an honest question. I want you to give me an honest answer.
Yeah.
All right? Curtis Samuel, $8.5 million, 4 catches, 35 yards yesterday.
And that's even MVS, more than he's had. That's even more than he's had.
MVS had three receptions, 109 yards, 2 touchdowns. Where did we make a mistake in this? Be honest with us, please.
Well, I don't think it has to be.
Brandon Bean make a mistake by letting go of MVS because he paid Curtis Samuel. And he had to obligate, you know what, I got to keep this guy. I'm not, you know what, here you go. Be honest with yourself. I'm just asking you, man. That's it.
Yeah, I'm trying to be honest with you. That's all. I mean, listen, I mean, I don't know if you can call it a mistake right now. It's one game for MVS. He couldn't get on the field in Buffalo for whatever reason. You know, I think more than anything, to me, it's not about MVS. I don't think that was ever anything that was going to move the needle for me anyway. He can make a few big plays, and he's getting an opportunity. He has a different role in New Orleans. You have to think about that. Chris Olave is out, right? I mean, they're playing him in a different style, different role, and hey, good for him. But he wasn't going to play over, you know, some of the guys here. For me, it's about Curtis Samuel. The mistake, if you want to call it that, or the issue is, why is Curtis Samuel not ingrained in this offense? I don't think it's about Curtis Samuel versus MVS. I think you're making it out to be that. My honest answer is, to me, it's just about more about Curtis Samuel. Curtis Samuel should be more involved, and he's not, and I don't know if it goes back to the injury. I don't know why it hasn't happened. They tried to target him more yesterday. He had a better game yesterday, not as much. I think the MVS part doesn't bother me at all. That's going to happen. He wasn't going to play that kind of a role in Buffalo. He had a nice game yesterday for New Orleans. They found him a couple times. I don't care about that. I don't think he was ever going to move the needle here. So, to me, it's more about Curtis Samuel and getting him more involved, not about MVS. Does that make sense?
I don't know, Matt. I honestly just don't get it. I don't buy it. But
well,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know. Well, he's on his like third or fourth team in the last couple of years. I mean, you know, there's a reason for that. And sure, if you think, all the power to you, though, if you want to say you think MVS would be the guy that would, you know, spearhead this receiving group and he'd be amazing here, I'm not convinced of that because he had 2 touchdown catches in New Orleans yesterday.
Yeah, but look at the schedule ahead of us right now, Sal.
Yeah.
You got KC coming up.
Yep.
5 week, San Fran. Do we not think that maybe I'm just shooting the stats right now. Based on what I saw from MVS yesterday, to what Curtis Samuel did, you know what? I'd rather have MVS on the roster.
Okay.
Period.
Okay. Thanks a lot for the phone call. 803-0550 is the number to call. And No doubt, you can be entitled to that. Listen, they still have some issues at wide receiver. I think a lot of the injuries have mattered here. I don't know which receiver you'd get rid of if you go back to getting Amari Cooper. You don't have to get rid of one, I guess. You could keep MVS or somebody on the roster, but they had to make decisions. And I know people would say, well, you could have got rid of Matt Collins. I think yesterday we saw Matt Collins is valuable to what they want. Listen, I mean, these things should never be considered in a vacuum. Just because one guy has a game for one team doing something, he's playing a different role. This, you know what this reminds me of? In a lot of ways, reminds me of Isaiah Hodgins. And when he went to the Giants and had this big blow-up year, and people were really up in arms in Buffalo. Oh, my God, look what he's doing. He was in a different role there. And then what wound up happening? And ultimately, he didn't wind up playing for the Giants because his role shifted there, too, because they realized he couldn't handle the things that, you know, overall, through the long game, he would be asked to do for the New York Giants offense. So I respect it. I get it. And MVS put some time in. I'm not defending necessarily anything here other than I think you have to take the big picture perspective of what the wide receiver group looks like here. And to me, it's much more about the complaint should be and the issue should be Curtis Samuel, not Curtis Samuel versus MVS, if that makes sense. Thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it. We'll take a timeout. When we come back, we'll run through what happened yesterday in week number 9 in the NFL. We'll take more of your phone calls. We have open phone lines right now at 803-0550 here on the Northtown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday here on WGR.
Allen in the shotgun. Here's the snap. Hand off. No, it's a keeper for Allen. Through the left side. 10, 5, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown. The beast has been released. A 13-yard touchdown run by Allen.
Once again, Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Bills with a 30-20 win over the Indianapolis Colts yesterday. Welcome back to hour number 2, the final hour of today's Northtown Automotive Buffalo Football Victory Monday Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. As always, our Buffalo Football Victory Monday and every other Buffalo Football Monday Extra Point Show is brought to you by Catholic Health, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. Hey, let's get to our Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Really only one significant injury to talk about heading into this week from yesterday. That would be Dalton Kincaid because he did not finish the game. He was doubtful to return. He was originally questionable to return with a knee injury. Then he had a brace on his knee, went back into the game. Then he came back out of the game, and he didn't play, and he was doubtful and never returned to the game. After the game, he said in the locker room that he tried to give it a go, just didn't quite feel right, and he felt he couldn't protect himself. So you totally understand that. Gave more snaps to Dawson Knox, who had a very nice game yesterday. But you hope Dalton Kincaid's ready and available to play against the Kansas City Chiefs. That will be one to monitor throughout this week with Dalton Kincaid and a knee injury. Spencer Brown did have an ankle tape job going on. He twisted his ankle a little bit, went back into the game. He missed a few plays. He wound up going back in the game, so hopefully nothing there. But I'm sure these are guys that maybe the Bills will take a look at this week to see. You know on Wednesdays now, like last week it was a walkthrough. Maybe that'll be the same this week. It's getting to a long season. They haven't had their bye. That could be the same again this week. We'll see about that. And of course, the big injuries we're going to be really monitoring this week are the ones to the wide receivers who didn't play yesterday. That is Amari Cooper. That is Keon Coleman. Today, we'll get an update from Sean McDermott a little bit later today on his normal Monday Zoom call. And then if he has any information on that, we'll see where that goes. Usually we don't get too much on Monday. And then Wednesday, obviously a little bit more of an update as the Bills get ready to take on the Kansas City Chiefs. And then that's their last game before the bye. So you wonder if that factors into anything that happens here. And even I'll even throw this out there. At some point here, I think we're going to probably hear about Matt Milano getting his having his window open for practice. Now, with next week being a bye week and less practice, you wonder if they would do that because he wouldn't have as much time on the field. So I wonder if that happens after the bye week, but we'll see. But I think it is something that we have to be aware of here that could wind up happening and putting it on your radar right there. All right, hopefully you're watching here on the WGR Facebook page. Check it out. It is facebook.com/WGR550. And once again, I'll show everybody. I have my am wearing the Buffalo Victory Monday shirt. There we go. We got it on because that's what it is today. It's a Buffalo Victory Monday, 30-20 over the Indianapolis Colts. I am live here at KeyBank Center because we have a Sabres game going on today on WGR and along the Sabres radio network. Sabres taking on the Montreal Canadiens here today. Sabres are hot. They've won three in a row. Really nice win. They a game that they had in hand against the Calgary Flames, had a 2-0 lead, give up the 2-0 lead, have to hold on, excuse me, to get to overtime. And then in overtime, a couple chances each way, they wind up going to a shootout. Sabres get the 2 points. You don't worry about getting to overtime with a Western Conference team giving up the extra point, but you still want to close that game out. It's so funny. I thought yesterday a lot during the Bills game how much it reminded me of the Sabres game. You got to grind out a win. You have a lead, you give it up, you still have to come back, you grind out the win, and that's exactly what the Sabres did against the Calgary Flames. So now, real quickly here, they take on a Montreal Canadiens team, which is below them in the standings with only 10 points. They're 4-9-2. Sabres sit at 7-7-1, 15 points, a chance to jump the Boston Bruins today in the standings if they were to win today and get to 8-7-1. That would be nice. All right, we have that game coming up for you at 12:30. We have this show up until 12 o'clock, and then it's Sabres pregame with Brian Koziol. Let's get to Josh in Williamsville. Hi, Josh. Thanks for holding. You're in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
So just two things real quick. First off, you just kind of mentioned it, Sabres three-game winning streak. I just want to say it's a good day to enjoy being a Buffalo sports fan.
Yeah.
Bills are 8-2. Sabres are playing today on that three-game win streak. And then not to forget, our UB Bulls play tomorrow with a chance to become bowl eligible.
Hey, thanks for bringing that up. I appreciate that. Thank you. And, of course, you can always hear those games on the Bet 1520 because it's been a nice season for Pete Lembo and the UB Bulls for sure.
Absolutely. And then real quick, I just want to kind of go back to Curtis Samuel. I kind of like how they did get him involved pretty early on. It almost seemed like, you know, they kind of heard that criticism and let's get him involved pretty early. But then it did seem like he definitely slowed down. From what you were able to see, do you think that was them kind of more focusing on him, or was he just not making the plays? That was just kind of my question. And then I'm going to the game this weekend. Super excited. Haven't been to a Bills game in 9 years, so really looking forward to it. Thanks, Dale.
Yeah, you got it. I'm Curtis Samuel. I thought what happened was, Josh, the Bills did a nice job to have designed plays for him early in the game. Very intentional to get him involved in the game. As the game flow starts to go on, you don't get as much of that as you do those scripted plays early, and that's when it becomes, okay, Josh is looking for somebody. There's Curtis Samuel. What? It didn't quite work out. I don't know why that hasn't meshed the way it has. Maybe that gets him jump-started, having those few catches under his belt from yesterday. But as the game goes on, you're not getting those intentional plays to him, those design plays to him, those scripted plays to him. I thought that was very, very helpful for Curtis Samuel and Josh Allen. And look, he was available on one play where Josh skipped it, right? It was Josh rolling out to his left, threw the ball. Maybe if he can set his feet a little bit better, he gets it to Curtis Samuel. So hopefully that helps him going forward. They're going to need him because right now they're really banged up at wide receiver, as you know. Thanks for the call, Josh. We'll get to Brian in Arcade next up. Hi, Brian. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. So I think that caller a couple times ago, I think he brought up a good point. And it's not so much Samuel and MVS versus who you could have had, I guess, yeah, on the roster. To me, it's the Bills' organizational philosophy to only keep five wide receivers that continues to bite them. This has happened 2 or 3 years in a row. And when you're bringing in older street free agents, Jamison Crowder, Deontay Hardy, Trent Sherfield, yeah, they're going to struggle to stay healthy. If that's rounding out your receiver core and you have one injury, those guys got to play. And if they get healthy, now you're back to practice spotters. So effectively, the Bills have traded Jalen Virgil for MVS. Whatever you think of MVS, he's had a better career than Jalen Virgil is ever going to have. So to me, organizationally, the Bills didn't come out ahead here. It doesn't seem, especially if you give in the fact that MVS had a guaranteed contract. You're not saving money. So they put themselves in this razor-thin position continuously. This has happened numerous years in a row. And what it tells me, basically, it beats down the horse that we've all talked about forever. They've got to invest more in the position. They've got to get younger. They've got to get faster. And they've got to develop from within. Because you're bringing in Curtis Samuel. You're bringing in Deontay Hardy, Sherfield. They can all go through Crowder, Isaiah McKenzie off of waivers. These guys kind of float around in these nebulous roles, catching little plays out of the backfield. There's no chemistry to MVS. I mean, they did it again this year. Cephas out of training camp. They couldn't get Claypool on the active roster because he got hurt. Well, none of those guys at the end of the roster can help you, and now you're into practice squatter. So to me, it's a choice that the Bills continuously and actively make when you go through year-by-year being 2018 through 2024? Where does he draft wide receivers? Coleman's the highest. Then it's Gabe Davis, and then it's all fifth, sixth, seventh rounders. Austin Prohl, I mean, you can go through the record. They don't invest in the position, and this is what you get.
Okay, so let me. I think it's
receivers
a great
that can't help you.
So I think it's a great debate and discussion and talking point, and I think you bring up some good points. I will point out. So I just looked as you were talking. Do you know how many receivers the Chiefs have on their active roster?
Yeah, four or five.
They have five.
Got hurt.
They have five. Do you know how many the Eagles have?
They have five superstars.
They have five, so I get it. So the issue is this: I think the organization
traded for Doxon.
Hold on, but they still have five, right? So you because you said the numbers, you're talking about the numbers.
The Chiefs have six on opening day.
Right. Okay, I get it. But they only have five now because of injuries, and that's obviously where the Bills are. But here's the issue. And you're not wrong. I get it. Like it's a great debate.
Okay.
The issue is if you're going to be a bottom end receiver. They have no problem. They've kept six in the past, but that six has to help on special teams, and maybe that would be where your issue would come in, where because the Bills can choose to say, well, we're going to keep an extra DB or an extra linebacker. They're heavy at linebacker this year a little bit because I think that those guys, they feel because of the new kickoff rules, are a little bit help more, you know, they help on special teams. I do think you make a great point about the investment in the position in the draft, drafting them higher, but let's remember they drafted Keon Coleman with the first pick of the second round. It was their first pick last year. They drafted Dalton Kincaid as a pass catcher the year before. So I do think they've made a little bit more investment in that regard. They do have an organizational philosophy, though, of not paying these guys super high money because when you're paying your quarterback and other people around your roster, it gets a little bit more challenging, you know? So I don't know. It's a tough balance. I don't know. I get it. I get what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you necessarily. I just think it's a tough balance, and there's a lot of ways to go about it. And other teams do this, too, are very successful.
Yeah, it's balanced, but it's also – the other thing it points to is across multiple coordinators, the Bills don't develop these small, fast guys. So when you get to Samuel as well, like he got thrown in a bucket to me like Nyheim Hines did. You traded for Nyheim Hines. He got 11 touches, total touches, after the Bills traded for him. He fell into a nothing role. Samuel's in a nothing role. And if fans looked, I mean, look at his yards per target across multiple coordinators, different teams. It just keeps going down. His ADOT has gone down every single year in his career. This is how NFL coordinators see how to use him now. Well, he's really only a gadget guy. If he was more effective, he would be on the field.
Yeah, but I wonder if this is more about Samuel, though, because – Joe Brady used him effectively in 2020 in his best year as a pro. For some reason, that's not translating. I get that you're going to have a little bit of a different, you know, philosophy with Josh Allen at quarterback and a different team now and under the head coach's direction, whatever, however you want to say that. But I just wonder if it's more about Samuel. That's what I scratch my head about this, because this coordinator was in charge when he had his best year as in his career.
Yeah, but he was four. You know, that was 4 or 5 years ago. He was younger. He's 28 now.
Yeah, he's still young.
He's not as scary as he used to be. He's always been kind of a hybrid running back wide receiver. He's harder to get the ball to. You have to scheme him open. And if he's not going to get priority, he's not going to get priority over Coleman. He's not going to get priority over Cooper now. Even Matt Collins you can keep on the field because he blocks. He's just, to me, he gets afterthought
He does
orbit motion, Sal.
Yeah, one thing I'll tell you is I think they developed Khalil Shakir pretty well.
Yeah, but he could play right away. This is my thing with Khalil Shakir. Yes, you and the WGR, you talk about this like, oh, he's earned his role. No, he was good right away. Late game Ravens as a rookie, he caught two huge balls in that game. He caught a touchdown against the Steelers. He just had no opportunity because Gabe Davis had to be on the field the whole time. He had to play behind Crowder. He was good right away. I am convinced that if you would put him ahead of McKenzie and Crowder right away, Khalil Shakir would be the same type player.
You have to give a little credit for developing him to this, too. You can be convinced of that, and that's fine, but you still have to give credit to developing if you're not going to give credit to the other ones being developed.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right? Am I right? I'm just trying to have a discussion, right?
He's a fifth-round pick, but he was good. Right. He actually had pedigree in college. He's not Justin Shorter. Who was a flame out of high school. Yeah,
right, well,
he drafted him in the same round, but to play special teams. But, yeah, he can't actually help you. He has hips as tight as a bear vise. So it's not the same thing.
I'm not trying to upset you. I just think you have to look at it both ways. That's all I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah, okay.
Okay? All right, have a good day. Thank you. Appreciate it. Here on the North Tunnel, I'm just trying to work through the discussion. I don't know. He's getting upset about it for whatever. I mean, you know, you're right. I agree with you. They have not made the investment, but don't tell me they haven't developed anybody. And then Khalil Shakir comes on the scene his third year, and he's having the year he's having, and then not give him credit for developing because he did. But you're right. The organizational philosophy, 100% right about that, Brian, that you can – if you want to push back and say – the organizational philosophy is not right where it is with wide receivers. I'm totally open to that with, hey, they're in a situation now where they painted themselves in this corner. 100% agree with you, buddy. I do. But I also want to give credit to, hey, they've done a good job with Khalil Shakir. And, yeah, maybe he was ready to play. Maybe. I mean, he didn't play much as early on because he didn't have opportunity. I get that. No doubt about it. I'm also not convinced he would be great if he played. But, you know, so either way. However you want to look at it. It's fine. I don't know. You're getting upset there. You don't have to. It's a Buffalo Victory Football Monday, buddy. And the Bills won. And the Sabres are playing today on a 3-game winning streak. Let's go to Michael in Atlanta. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Sal. Great to talk to you again. Yes.
You got it.
Let's celebrate the victory.
It's all good. It's all good. I mean, like I said, I just I wasn't trying to get anybody upset, but he was upset, so it's okay.
Oh, no, I get it. But three things real quick, if I could. And one of them, we're talking about players and player development. I mean, kudos to the Bills and Sean McDermott and the whole staff with the next man up, not just with the receiving core. And, you know, we saw Hollins has had they've asked him more of him in the last couple of weeks. He performed, he's ready. But also, I was pretty impressed yesterday when Spencer Brown went out and I forgot who it was, Vandermark.
Ryan Vandermark. He had a great block on Khalil Shakir's screen.
I mean, comes right in off the bench, ready to go. So let's look at that side of it. You know, if every team did everything perfectly, you have undefeated teams every year. There'd be a couple, and there's not, because there's you have to. It's a little give and take. But they have their players prepared. Number one, number two, want to talk about Josh Allen. A couple picks yesterday, a week before. Do you think that some of this has to do with the change in personnel? Does that affect some of the chemistry?
Oh, for sure. Yesterday, Josh got to the stadium a little bit earlier than normal. A lot of the media noted that he was on one of the earlier buses that get there because the players take different buses. And I don't know for sure. I think that this might have been him wanting to get on the field a little bit earlier with these guys and working, because when you have changes like that, you definitely want to make sure. And it does impact it, especially as you go throughout the week and you're not sure who's going to be available, who's not. And these guys are working through injuries. There's no doubt about that, Michael.
That's the only common denominator that I see. All of a sudden he's thrown some picks where he wasn't early on. It's, when he had his whole receiving core intact. So, yeah, that's good. That's good to know. Then hopefully we'll get everyone back and a little bit more continuity. And the last thing was, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but I did talk to you about it last week, and I got to bring it up again. I still think there's got to be some kind of a overall review board when there are such blatant missed penalties. You know, I can go all the way back to last year of Philadelphia when Josh Allen gets horse-collared, throws the ball as he's getting horse-collared, and he gets the penalty thrown on him for intentional grounding. I mean, his shoulder pads are coming out of his jersey, and right in front of the official, no flag. And yesterday, right, I'm sure you saw it or heard about it, when he ran for that first down, you had a defensive lineman punching him in the side of the head.
Yeah.
There's got to be something done about that, Sal. I know sometimes there's every touchdown's reviewed or what. I'm not saying you can't review every single play, but when something is so blatant and there's an officiating committee or watching this game, something has to be done, because my gosh, that was completely ridiculous that there wasn't a flag thrown on that play. And when Josh slid and then he was hit late, I'm sure you remember that.
Yeah, oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that stuff this morning because it certainly mattered yesterday. It could have mattered yesterday to Josh Allen's health, and they didn't throw the flags on any. I thought you're getting ridden out of bounds on the touchdown, getting punched, getting hit late, for sure. And you're supposed to be protecting these quarterbacks, and we didn't see that.
Yeah, there's got to be some next level so this doesn't continually happen, because again, it's gonna. It's like there's no deterrent at times. You flag that guy or throw. I actually would, if I was an official, for throwing punches like that in the side of the head, I would have thrown him out. Thrown him out of the game.
All right, listen, Mike, I got to go. I got some more calls I got to get to real quickly here because I want to do that. Let's go to Patty in North Tonawanda. Hi, Patty. You're on the Norton Automotive Extra Point Show.
Good morning, Sal.
Good morning.
It's a pleasure to talk with you. I'm the Bills Mafia sister and friends with Lorenzo. We've met several times. I'm driving back with my sister. Hi, I'm driving back with my sister from Indianapolis. We stopped in Erie overnight. It's about almost 2 in the morning when we got in. So I just wanted to say that a couple things really quickly. Shout out to the Colts fans. I actually went to the game by myself. I had my a single seat, and I sat next to some Colts fans. But you know what? Shout out to the Bills Mafia, too. The fans got along. Everybody was just so cordial with each other. It was wonderful to see that fans, yes, were AFC divisional, or not divisional, but were rivals in the AFC, and yet we can still all get along. And so many Colts fans said, we are rooting for you to beat the Chiefs. We are on your side. You can count on us. And it was a really great feeling. But wonderful shout out to the Bills Mafia. I was in Seattle 2 weeks ago. That was an incredible takeover, and I expect nothing less, you know, moving forward with future road games. I also want to give a shout out to Jordan Phillips and his return. What he was doing to fire up the crowd was just incredible. And sure, maybe he's not, you know, the number one best player, but he certainly brings the energy. And I saw it on the bench. You were closer than I was, of course, but he really brought back the energy that he did when he was here before. And I'm excited to see what he's going to bring against the Chiefs.
Thanks a lot,
one last
Patty.
Question for,
yeah, go
one
ahead.
Question
yeah, yeah.
for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you know who the referee staff is going to be for this game coming up? In a better not
Knock, I don't have that yet. I'll have that probably tomorrow afternoon.
All right, because if it's Hockley's team, we're in trouble.
All right. I was
That's
thinking about
all
that
I'm
today.
Say about it.
I was thinking about that today. Thanks, Patty. I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll check on that. I was going to run through the league, but you know what? We got some more phone calls lined up, so let's get to a couple more of them real quickly here before we head to the bottom of the hour. Let's go to Jeff in Hamburg. Hi, Jeff. You're on WGR.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Good, buddy. Thank you.
Hey, just wanted to talk about this game coming up here with Kansas City. I don't see why. I don't want us going full out in this, because this is a game, as far as I'm concerned, really doesn't matter. The only game that matters with Kansas City is the playoffs, and I'd hate to see us putting out too much effort and getting our players injured. What do you think about that?
I think that's – I completely disagree. You don't – you're just going to wave the white flag to not get guys injured against against Kansas City Chiefs?
No, I'm not saying to throw out the white flag. I mean, I'd still like to see them beat it. I just don't want to see where
well, it's a game. It's a game.
Where
you go out
we,
there and you play it. I mean, that's that. No, I mean, you go out there and you play it. Of course, you want to get through every game without injuries, but if you look at it, if you could say, hey, if you lose to the Chiefs, there's no shame in that. You still have a great lead in the division. I understand that for sure, Jeff. I mean, yeah. It's not like super critical. Although if you beat them, you could have still a chance to get the one seed. That would matter. I understand that. But you play this game to win the game like you do every other game.
Well, correct. I'm not going to argue. I'm not arguing that point at all. The only point that I've got is just don't go out and put the rest of our season at risk for just.
You mean
this
yeah?
Game.
You mean
just
like
so,
the guys?
So say,
some guys
so
are banged up.
You got bragging rights for it, you know?
Yeah. If you're saying like guys that are banged up, maybe give them an extra week because of the bye week. I mean, you might want to err on the side of caution. I understand that, but sorry, I misinterpreted what you were saying and when you first called it. Maybe they should just yeah. like, hey, don't get Josh hurt. Don't put him out there or something like that. So I got you, buddy.
No, you can't. You got to have all these players play. Like you said, if they're a little bit hurt or banged up or yeah. anything, I mean, you don't need to be forcing them out there. Give them the extra week or the extra 2 weeks in order to come out so we can keep our season going. And yeah. As far as the number one seed, it proved the other was it last year or the year before? I forgot. We had Kansas City here in our stadium for the playoffs, and we lost to them.
Yeah, no doubt. But, hey, look, I mean – you still would rather play home than away, right, in the playoffs, wouldn't you? Right, no matter what?
Absolutely.
So seeding still matters in that regard. Thanks a lot for the phone call. Real quickly, Brad in Orchard Park. Let's get to you, and we'll wrap up the half hour here. Go ahead, Brad. Oh, Brad dropped. All right. You know what? We're going to take a timeout then. We'll come back. All right, the gates have opened here at KeyBank Center because I see a lot of Canadians red in the arena already. That's what happens here. It's a Montreal on a holiday weekend here in the States. Montreal fans, Canadian fans coming in. Sabres fans filing in as well. We are down here at KeyBank Center. We have a half hour left of the Extra Point Show, and then we're going to hand it off to Brian Cozio and the Sabres Radio Network. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Victory Monday.
Back to pass. Has to roll away from pressure again. Rolling out to his right. Throws, as he's got Mac Hollins at the 32-yard line complete, and he alertly runs out of bounds with 8 seconds.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Left.
All right, told you that this is a small picture, big picture kind of show. We talked about the small picture and the game yesterday. Thanks a lot. I feel bad, man. Brian called up. He made some great points. And that's what this show's about, though, Brian. It's all good, buddy. You're free to call back anytime. We can have the discussion. And I, by the way, Brian, if you're still listening to Arcade, I 100% agree with you that you can have this. Like, the way they approach the wide receiver position is very much a discussion point and debate, no doubt about it. That was the big picture of, like, when he called up and said it's more of a philosophy or organizational philosophy. And I'll be the first to tell you, they just don't want to spend. I mean, they didn't want to spend, you know, whatever, $20-plus million on Stephon Diggs. At some point, they're going to have to either spend that kind of money in a free agent or use even higher assets to bring younger guys in. But I'll still push back that I think they've done a nice job of developing Khalil Shakir, although I agree that he probably could have played and done a nice job early in his career. There's still a learning curve. I mean, Taron Johnson said a few weeks ago, he said it wasn't until his third year in that he really felt comfortable playing at this level, at the NFL level, and look what he's doing now. So I do think you have to give some space for the fact that they've done that. But, yeah, I mean, that's just one guy, and they haven't had an opportunity, I guess, to develop a lot of those younger, smaller, faster guys, like you say, because it's not just because it goes hand-in-hand with the philosophy of not drafting them early on. But anyway, Brian, thanks for the call. I appreciate that. And that's what this show is about. We always appreciate the phone calls at 803-0550. All right, I told you it's a big picture kind of day as well. Let's look at where the Bills are now in the standings. 8-2 for the first time in 31 years. I think that's remarkable. 1993 was the last time the Buffalo Bills were 8-2. And with that 8-2 record, they are now, what, 5 games up on the New York Jets, who yesterday lost to the Arizona Cardinals. The New York Jets are definitely not a not having the season that people thought they would. At one point, they were the actual favorites to win the AFC East. 31-6, the Cardinals. By the way, we're having a nice season, and I think playing even better than people anticipated at this point. Not going to go through every single game in the league, but we all know the ones that mattered yesterday to the Buffalo Bills, including the Kansas City Chiefs beating the Denver Broncos 16-14 on a walk-off blocked field goal attempt as the Broncos. It was a chip shot, basically. The Steelers, I'm going to take them a little seriously now, as Joe DiBiase said today, Sneaky Joe, and I think that's right. 28-27 over the Washington Commanders. They come back late. The Commanders, they did a nice job of the Commanders' offense, but yet the Commanders' offense still was able to squeeze 27 points and get to 27. Steelers now at 7-2. That AFC North is a bear. It really is. You can look at the AFC East and say, worst division in football. Maybe it is, considering Jets, Patriots, Dolphins. Look at the AFC North. Steelers, Ravens, Bengals, Browns pulling up the rear, but I mean, even them, they're a tough out with their defense, the way they can play sometimes. But either way, Steelers, Ravens, and Bengals especially at 7-2, 7-3, 4-6 for the Bengals after their loss to the Ravens on Thursday Night Football this past week. Elsewhere, a couple other games that mattered to the Bills yesterday, the Chargers and the AFC go to 6-3. Now, could the Chargers possibly, you know, beat the Chiefs when they play on a night game Sunday night in Kansas City, December 8th? maybe. I think that their defense is good enough to be able to kind of hold them in it, but we'll see. But the Chargers, in the meantime, 6-3 in the AFC West. They beat the Titans 27-17. And then last night, holy cow, the Houston Texans blow a lead, 23-3 they're up. Jared Goff throws 5 picks, and the Lions win. You remember the Monday night game where Tony Romo threw 5 picks and the Dallas Cowboys still beat the Bills? It had so many of those same feels with how they came back in that game. The Lions win 26-23, knocking the Texans down to 6-4. The Texans still get frustrated by them beating the Bills and how they beat the Bills and how that game went, because I just don't I don't think they're necessarily – they're a good team. C.J. Stroud is good, but I don't think they're the level of these elite teams in the AFC, and I do consider the Bills among one of those teams. AFC race right now overall, you're looking at Kansas City with the 1 seed. That's not going to change no matter what happens next week, even if the Bills beat them. Bills with the 2 seed. Pittsburgh as the North leader at the 3 seed. Texans with the 4 seed as the South leader. And then it's Ravens, Chargers, Broncos in the 5, 6, 7 wild card spots. All right, let's get to sit up, stand down. Hey, buddy, can we sit up? You got to sit up right now on the New England Patriots maybe being a tougher out than they originally seemed. I'm not saying they're going to come into Buffalo and win or beat the Bills at their place, but they're not playing bad football. Two of their last 3 games they've won. They've beaten the Jets and the Bears now over the last couple of weeks. They do have the Rams, the Dolphins coming up. We'll see. They don't play the Bills until late December, 2 out of 3 games. But I think that they're a tougher out than a lot of people are giving them credit for right now, the New England Patriots. And as much as it seemed like, oh my God, Bills walk over, maybe the Bills just trounce them. I don't know. But defensively, they've allowed 3 points. They allowed 3 points yesterday, 20 points to the Titans, 22 to the Jets. They're playing a little bit better defensively. I'm going to sit up on the New England Patriots being a maybe tougher out than a lot of us thought they would be. Standing down, I don't know. We can go so many ways on standing down this week. How about standing down on the Panthers having the number one overall pick where it looked like they would? Let me tell you right now where the NFL draft is headed as far as top picks. You know where the Panthers are after yesterday's win? Let me see. Let me find them down here. Hold on. Carolina Panthers, 10th. They're picking 10th. After they were number one for weeks and weeks. The Jacksonville Jaguars would have the number one pick in the draft right now. Then it's the Giants, then the Titans, then the Browns, then the Vegas Raiders. Miami right there in that list. If they lose tonight, the Miami Dolphins would be in that group. Right now they would hold the number 6 pick. Speaking of Miami, they play tonight against the LA Rams. Interesting game. I want to see if how good the Rams are tonight, because I think the Dolphins are still trying to fight for their season. We'll see if Tyreek Hill plays in this game. I don't know if there's been any reports on that. We'll see how good maybe the Rams are tonight. The 4-4 Rams getting healthy again. Do they just blow the Dolphins away in L.A.? Because then I'm like, ooh, that Bills-Rams game looks really tough right now. Or do the Dolphins go in there and show, yeah, you know what? We can hang with the Rams. We can beat them even if the Dolphins win. I kind of feel a little bit better about the Bills and Rams situation, because I think that is a very interesting game for me right now to look at and going forward. All right, let's get to my buddy. Who's my buddy this week?
WGR Sports Radio 550 presents.
Hey, buddy.
Dudes, you know this dude?
What's up, dude?
Hey, buddy.
Bunny, sit down.
Who's my buddy this week?
I'm your buddy, guy! He's your guy, friend! I'm your friend, buddy!
On WGR.
Blue, you're my boy!
Sports Radio 550.
I am blown away whenever I go to a road city and see so many Bills Mafia out and about. But man, Indy, you guys crushed it. And I just want to say, make my buddy, all the people that said hello when I went downtown to hang out with the fans of Buffalo Party at Tin Roof downtown. So many of you were just so gracious and awesome to come up and say hi and say you listen to WGR. You listen to the Extra Point Show. You listen to the podcast. It's always game day in Buffalo. Meet Matt Bove. So cool to see so many people out there and taking pictures with people and celebrating a great time to come together. Buffalo is... Bills Mafia truly is. It truly is a family that people see out there. But thank you so much to all of you who welcome me into your lives every day. I just want to say it's amazing to me. I'm so blessed and privileged to kind of be in this position to talk about the Bills, do what I want for a living and what I've loved to do my whole life and wanted to do. But to be able to see that response from people, had a great time at Tin Roof downtown Saturday night. Went out there, had a nice dinner. went out, said, you know what, I'm gonna hit the Fans of Buffalo party at Tin Roof downtown, and you guys brought it, and you were so awesome, and there were so many other places and parties that were going on, but you're my buddies this week, Bills Mafia, and you showed up yesterday. Check it out, the video I posted at Sal Sports from yesterday at the end of the game on the field and the crowd, I should say, just cheering on their Bills, their Buffalo Bills. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Brian Coles, you're going to join me to hand it off to Sabres pregame. We'll talk about that game and wrap up the Bills beating the Colts 30-20 yesterday in Indy. Filing into KeyBank Center. A lot of Montreal red. Typical for the Montreal Canadiens to come into town, but this is not a really great Montreal Canadiens team taking on the Buffalo Sabres today. We're going to have pregame coverage coming at you at noon. Brian is on his way here. A little more traffic than usual on this holiday, on a Veterans Day. And Brian will get up here in the booth shortly, but if we don't have him, that's fine. We'll just keep things rolling on here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show and hand it off to him for pregame beginning at noon, which is going to happen at the top of the hour. Sabres take on the Montreal Canadiens. Like I said, let me just get you those standings again, because Sabres are on a three-game winning streak, and they're welcoming in a team that is behind them in the standings. As it stands right now, the Sabres are where are they here? They're tied for the wild card, basically. 15 points for Tampa. So the Rangers at 19, then Tampa, the Lightning, the Sabres, the Islanders, all at 15. But if you take a look at the Atlantic Division, the Sabres can win this game and jump the Boston Bruins. Do the Bruins play today? Let's see the schedule today. I will take a look. You know what? Let's see if I can grab that for you. Not sure. Let's see if the Bruins play today, because obviously if the Sabres win and, you know, you get a Bruins loss, then, you know, we'll see. All right, so Sabres take on the Montreal Canadiens today. And the... looks like, I believe, Samuelson is returning to the lineup. We'll see if that means. I don't know exactly what the scratch is here. I'm just kind of trying to piece together everything that's going on here today. And it looks like maybe is who's going to be coming out. Would that be, would that be Gilbert coming out? I'm going to get all this information from Paul and Brian who are coming aboard. In the meantime, hey, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's a Buffalo Football Victory Monday presented by Catholic Health. Catholic Health, the right way to care. And brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. All right, let's take a look at the next game for the Buffalo Bills. Of course, that is going to be against the Kansas City Chiefs. And our Lake Hour look ahead, brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Tequila and Vodka Hard Seltzers. Pick them up at your favorite local liquor store today. Now look, I just told you, my buddy was Bills Mafia out at Tin Roof. I was out there on Saturday night, and I was there, and I'm telling you, this, you guys know, you listen, because someone said to me, hey, can I get you a seltzer? I know you don't love drinking beer. I said, that's right. Thanks for listening. I appreciate that. That's exactly what the case was. So thanks a lot for that, because that's what I tell you every week when I get to the Lake Hour look ahead. I'm not a big beer drinker. I like my seltzers. That's exactly what Lake Hour is. Now remember, Lake Hour, brought to you by Rich Pete, who's a big Bills fan, and Wyatt Russell, the son of Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. We've had him here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Go to lakehour.com. Check out these flavors. Watermelon cucumber, rosemary yuzu, peach jasmine, honeysuckle ginger. They're fantastic. It's still the fall is elite season right now. Out at the lake, drinking this stuff, thinking about the Bills taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. Folks, this is a big one. Yes, we'd love for the Bills to have an opportunity to grab the one seed, and I wanted that to happen. I wanted the Broncos to beat the Chiefs yesterday. Walk-off field goal, winds up getting blocked. That's not what happens. In the meantime, the Chiefs now 9-0. They come to Buffalo. This is probably the game of the week in the NFL next week. Take a look around. What's happening next week? Thursday night, Commanders-Eagles is a really good game. 7-3 against 7-2, right? You have, who else? Ravens-Steelers next week is a big game in the AFC North. But there it is in the 425 window, national game. I'm guessing it's going to be Nance Romo and Tracy Wolfson next week for the first time this year. The Bills will get the number one announcing team. That's my guess. Haven't heard officially yet. Kansas City at Buffalo next week. I'm sure it's out there. I just don't have it in front of me, but I'm sure that's the case. Kansas City at Buffalo, 9-0 against 8-2. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, fans of the Chiefs, they're probably thinking to yourself that you have to, you're going to be, oh, if you keep playing the way you have, you're going to lose to the Buffalo Bills. We'll see next week. Should be a fantastic game, one of the games of the week. That is our Lake Hour Look Ahead, brought to you by Lake Hour Premium Vodka and Hard Seltzers. Pick them up today at your favorite local liquor store. Brian Colesio for just a few minutes before the Sabres take on the Montreal Canadiens. We have a little lineup shuffle. So it looks like Samuelson back into the lineup for the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, I think that there was going to be a spot to maybe get one of those guys back in there after the last game, and that kind of makes sense in this situation. The fact that he was originally there was maybe this hesitation to scratch him initially, Sal. I think a lot of it maybe had to do, hey, we gave him a letter. He wore an A.
Yep.
Was that going to be something that he wanted to set a precedence for? And the fact that it went, in some ways, really well. The Sabres played three outstanding games. The players that filled in for them for the most part there between Bryson and Gilbert handled themselves well. Now Gilbert struggled in the last game, took those three penalties. So that kind of opened up the door. Also, Bo Byram played over 32 minutes in that last game on Saturday against Calgary. And Lindy said, hey, some of the D were struggling a little. I didn't really like how they played. So that kind of opened up the door here to get him back into the lineup. I mean, for what he can bring when he brings his best game, he should be in the lineup.
Is Dennis Gilbert scratch? Who's the scratch?
That's what we're thinking because of the penalties and things
you're
like
right,
that. So
yeah.
We're going to confirm that coming up here. Maybe, I don't know, less than 10 minutes or so here when they come out for warm-ups.
Do we know who's in goal tonight, today yet?
So we're expecting it should be Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, yes.
Okay, wow. So a little surprise to me. I thought Devin Levi would get one of these games, but UPL's been playing so well, and he's at his best when he's playing a lot.
Yeah, I think one thing that we saw from last year is that he was able to handle the workload, Sal, really, really well. So that piece of it, I think Lindy Ruff has always liked in his career when he's had like a quote number one goalie to ride them and let them play quite a bit. So I think because the days are spaced out well enough here, no travel. You had an afternoon game on a Saturday, an afternoon game today, and then they don't play for another 2.5 days until Thursday night. So if you want to keep going with him, you can. Next week, they've got back-to-back games on a Friday, Saturday. The following week, they have back-to-back games on a Friday, Saturday. But, like, Devin Levi should maybe play, I would think, once more in there before. You don't want to have him sit another 2 weeks. Then we go back to the discussion of should he be in Rochester playing every game then at that point.
I was just going through the standings real quick, Brian. A big game for the Sabres. They can literally jump into a playoff spot right now.
Yes. And in fact, they could go up to third, solo third in this.
I mean, they're tied for a wild card spot. Yes, they could go jump the Atlantic Division, jump the Boston Bruins with a win today, which would be outstanding, obviously.
Yeah, to jump to just to see that visually, I think, for the team is something really, really nice. Yeah, Boston comes in 16, Sabres with 15. The Bruins do not play today. They've played one more game, so the game is
last minute of play in the show.
So I think an opportunity today, too. Montreal, on paper, they're one of the worst teams in the NHL. So the opportunity is there today for Buffalo, obviously, to move into that spot.
All right, what do you got, guys? What do you got going on pregame today? A little shorter pregame than normal.
Yeah, just 12 to 12:30. We're going to hear from Lindy Ruff. Pat Malacarlo is going to join me here to start in a second to kind of set the scene on today. Paul Hamilton later with his keys to the game. And we'll be monitoring warm-ups to confirm who's in and who's out. But with Samuelson coming back in, I would think all signs there would point to Dennis Gilbert, unless there's an injury or a fatigue piece that we're unaware of coming from the Calgary game the other day.
A lot of red in the stands. That's typical for Montreal. Yep. It's also a holiday, so if you're in the States and you're a Canadiens fan, Montreal fan, grow up, something like that, you're going to come to a game like today. But I like the Sabres' chances to quiet this crowd today, the way the Sabres are playing, the way the Montreal Canadiens are playing.
We'll see less Canadiens fans here. They'll still be here, as we're seeing them by warm-ups already. But because it's a work day, you know, for Canada,
have a great show.
We'll be a little less. Thanks.
You got it. All right. Sabres coming up at 12:30 p.m. Enjoy it. Thank you to all of our veterans out there as well. We salute you.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.